Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season two is out now from Lemonada Media.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Kids, listen to your mother.
Mom.
Welcome to Between Us Moms with Katie Crafts-Morg and Hallie Stevens-Drake.
So turns out we all had lots, and I mean lots of questions about vasectomies after the topic came up during a recent episode. So we've recruited the best of the best when it comes to all things snip snip. She was valedictorian in high school. I know because I went to high school with her. She's a University of Michigan grad, an alum of Rush Med School, a badass urologist in Seattle, and a fiery redhead. Please welcome to the podcast, Dr. Mara Heeman.
Yay. Love that intro, Hal.
I need you to like give my intros for every talk I give nationally because they're usually a whole lot drier.
Put me in, coach. I'm ready. I'll hype you up.
Mara, we have a ton of questions for you, but before we kind of really dive into this, can you give us a brief, super simple explanation of what happens when a man goes in for a vasectomy?
So absolutely. So it's important to know that it doesn't typically happen the same day as a consultation. In some places it may, but it's often sort of a two-step process. A guy will come in to me, have a very brief consult, which is mostly just talking about what the procedure entails. I try to kind of hit all of the questions that they may ask during sort of my spiel. I do a very brief physical exam and then get them signed up. There are some state-by-state nuances of if there's a waiting period on whether on actually having, because it's a sterilization procedure, actually having the procedure done. So some state insurances mandate like a 30-day waiting period, as they do with many sort of women's reproductive health decisions as well.
Is that just because they want to make sure that you have 30 days to like really make sure you want to do this?
Yeah. So that's usually the first step. And then the second step is the procedure.
How long does a procedure generally take and how invasive is it? And honestly, what's happening in there? Like, what are you actually doing?
So it's funny to say, but it's a very simple and straightforward procedure, but it can be humbling for the people who do it. In an experienced proceduralist's hands, because I won't say surgeon, because many vasectomies are done by primary care providers, family medicine providers, and it should take about 10 to 15 minutes and be relatively painless. And it will happen in different ways for different people, but usually it involves kind of a small opening that's made in the scrotum, either one or two, and then finding the vas deferens, which is the sperm carrying tube that carries and transits sperm from the testicle to the ejaculatory system, the urethra, and just creating a blockage in that system, usually in a variety of different ways to help prevent it from growing back together.
When you say blockage, my mind went like a million different places. Are you guys putting something in there, like a device?
So
like a clothespin?
Yeah, I'm just
similar. So we actually I use, and many people who do this use titanium clips. So very tiny titanium clips, which for all practical purposes, just like a little clothespin. There are many different tools that we use to try to, again, separate that tube and help prevent it from growing back together, because that's the main reason for failure of a vasectomy. So we kind of burn the inside of that tube with a little bit of cautery, remove a little segment, a tiny segment, and put tissue in between the two ends of it, and then also use a clip. So I do all of those maneuvers to make it as solid of a blockage as possible, while still potentially being reversible in the future if that were desired.
Wow. So does that happen a lot? People change their minds later on?
It happens very commonly. I would say that's a big part of my practice also as a microsurgeon and male fertility specialist is doing vasectomy reversals. And that's a very much more bona fide operation where a guy has to be under general anesthesia. And that takes a couple hours. Typically it should be done by someone with microsurgical training and is, you know, done with suture that's finer than hair. So that's a whole different ballgame, but no pun intended.
Yeah. Love but, a good ball joke.
Yeah. Oh my I try to let guys know up front that it is possible. I've done VAS reversals for many men in second marriages or relationships or, you know, even in the face of losing children. So there's many reasons for, you know, wanting to have more kids or just, you know, we decided we actually do want a third child. So many
reasons. How often is that procedure, that reversal, successful?
The main determining factor of success of a reversal is how long it's been since the vasectomy took place. So if it was last year, reversing it has a very high chance of success. But if it was 10, 15 years ago, it just drops a little bit. And really, we can't give the full prognosis on that until I see things in the operating room. So I can't tell exactly the chances of success until I see kind of how things have healed in the operating room.
It sounds really painful, everything that you described to me. So do you use some sort of numbing aid? Are they awake during the procedure?
Well, it's so funny that you say that as someone who has gone through a C-section, because I've seen C-sections and they are drastically more significant surgery and you know, radical surgery.
Do you hear that, men? Are you listening?
I was doing a vasectomy on a guy and he's, you know, he's like, I just took some time off because, you know, I saw what my wife went through with her C-section. I figured I need some time too. And I'm like, my friend, this is very different. Very different.
That's so, you know, fucking rich.
It is. My husband literally, so when we had the talk about the vasectomy and we were talking about it too with my parents and he was like, so after I get this done, will we be even? And I was like, not even close, sir.
That's so, so common. It's funny because, you know, there's partners who will bake their husband a cake and things like that, which is so nice. It is, you know, it is a helpful thing to do for a family, you know, that doesn't want to have more kids. And it is, you know, an invasive procedure to undergo. So I give credit to the guys who come forward and do it. In terms of pain control during the procedure, it's variable. Again, there are some clinics that have guys that offer nitric oxide. If you've ever used nitric oxide, it just kind of makes you a little bit, dulls the senses somewhat and makes you less anxious about the procedure. Some use a Valium, so they have guys take a pill, you know, 30 minutes before. I offer that, but most don't take me up on it. Usually it's just, so in my hands, it's such a straightforward and comfortable procedure where I'm just sort of talking with them, chit-chatting. You know, there's two times where there's some discomfort with applying some local anesthetic to the area. And I just use a needle. There are some people who do vasectomies that use this sort of injecting tool that just sort of shoots local anesthesia through the skin. I just think it's, you know, it's relatively easy to apply. It's just one single little poke and then some pressure in the testicles to numb it.
I'm sorry, I keep laughing. I don't know why, like, testicles.
I'm not surprised. It's just you, Hallie.
I know. I'm like 11 years old. Like, get it together. Okay, so I have more questions. So they're awake.
They're awake.
You're cutting with a little scalpel. They have to get stitches.
So there's this sort of overarching description of vasectomies as no scalpel technique, feeling like they're less invasive. So all I need to do is create a tiny little opening in the skin, and that can be done either using a scalpel. So it's like 1 centimeter or less than 1 centimeter.
Wow.
Or can be done using a little spreading device just to create a little opening in the skin. Mm. So they achieve the same thing. And I don't put any stitches in the skin, again, because the opening is so small, and I do just one incision right in the middle, and it's right underneath the guy's penis. So if he had a stitch there, it would be kind of irritating the penis. Ooh. For a couple of weeks. So I just glue a little bit of, you know, surgical glue on the skin.
Let's see that steady hand. Let's see that steady. I'm sure every guy that can look at that.
That's right. Hey, that's right.
This is maybe an embarrassing question, but like, has a guy ever gotten aroused right before?
Great question.
I can't say specifically before a vasectomy, but I only see people with penises and testicles in my clinic, and, you know, cis men, some trans. Actually, that's not true. I could, because I do take care of people on the gender diversity spectrum, but I mostly see owners of testicles and penises. And yes, I have had people get aroused and get erect just on a physical exam. And there's sort of like an anxiety trigger that causes erection. So it's not arousal. It's just sort of like the nervous system arousal. So if you're a guy and that happens when you're getting an exam from, you know, a doctor, provider, it's normal. It's not like going to worry me. It's not going to make me feel uncomfortable. It's just kind of physiology.
Okay.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles, just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I gotta say, I'm really glad I don't have a penis.
Yeah, because you really can't, yeah.
Hey, what do you do? We can talk about that later, but... So we've talked about, you know, a little bit about reversing. We have heard urban legends about men getting vasectomies and going on to get their partners pregnant. What are the odds of that actually happening?
So that is possible. What I spell out in that initial consultation is that this is meant to be a permanently sterilizing procedure, but we can't give you the go to sort of forego other forms of contraception until you get tested afterwards to make sure the procedure was a success. So that's like a number one, that they should always be doing a follow-up test to make sure it was successful.
How long does that?
Yeah. When do you do that?
So usually about 2 to 3 months after, or 20 ejaculations, which sounds so ridiculous, but because then you have guys being like, I can do it next week. And you're like,
that's a lot.
Yeah.
I'm like doing the math. I'm like, that's a lot a day.
You're gonna be a busy week. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. I just say 2 or 3 months, but you know, people get busy. They forget to get the test, and then kid number four comes along, and then they get it tested, and it was just never successful from the beginning. So
interesting.
I've seen that happen. There is the possibility that there are two of these tubes, and if you're doing the procedure, you could cut the same side twice. And again, that just, it just speaks to the need to do that test afterwards. Like I said, it can be a humbling procedure to do. So, and then yes, there is a small chance of those after separating the tube that it grows back together. So that's about 1 in 1,000 or 1 in 2,000. So
that's common.
It's not uncommon. I have had one patient who comes in annually to have his semen analyzed to make sure there's no sperm.
Okay. So you actually bring me to this is kind of where Katie and I got stumped and we're like, we need to talk to a doctor. After this procedure, I called it juice, but like, juice comes out, and like, what is, so after you've had a vasectomy, something still comes out,
yeah.
But what is it? Like what's happening with the vasectomy that like something can still come out, but not, like,
is it still sperm?
It's semen. Just to like take you back to anatomy. So the testicles make sperm, the sperm swim out of the testicles into this organ called the epididymis. It's a little tubey organ that has like all these little microscopic tubules, and then they sort of coalesce, funnel into the vas deferens, which the vas deferens curls around through the pelvis. And then all of the sperm from the vas deferens funnel into the prostate and this organ called the seminal vesicles. And so all of that comes together to be, no pun intended again, to be deposited into part of the urethra. And so most of semen, most of the fluid that's in semen is actually from the prostate and the seminal vesicles. So those are upstream of where a vasectomy would occur. When you do the vasectomy, that's just preventing sperm from being deposited into the rest of the fluid.
Okay. Got it. So semen is like the chlorine, it's water. Clear. Sperm, yeah, is like the swimmers in the water, in the pool.
It. Yes. Except semen is really just like the fluid that nurtures sperm and helps activate it and get it,
wow,
able to penetrate cervical mucus. It's really just like all a part of biology to help people reproduce.
I did not pay attention in sex ed, clearly.
Same. I'm learning more now than I did in sex ed for sure. How long do you need to wait to have sex after you've had this procedure done? And do you feel like your libido is like down a little bit?
For the guy, I think, mm-hmm, so I usually say 1 week.
Oh.
It's not a lot. Yeah.
Okay.
And I usually say in terms of just procedure, sort of recovery, downtime, just avoid heavy lifting, super vigorous exercise and things like that for a couple of days.
So they can still go to work.
Yes. Oh. Though many would prefer to take a few days off, which is fine. That's acceptable, you know.
Yeah. Sure. Well, I feel like, I mean, you sort of compared it to the C-section earlier and how like vastly different they are in pain. But after a woman gives birth, it's like your hormones drop and you're all over the place. And the last thing you want to do is have sex. And also you medically are not supposed to have sex until you're cleared. So do they experience any type of hormone or testosterone level drop at all?
No. And that's a super important and great question because, you know, we have certain glands in our body, organs that have two functions. There's one that's like to make a certain type of hormone, and there's another one to make actual substance that's functional. So for instance, the pancreas makes insulin for our bloodstream, but then it also makes digestive juices, right? And so the testicles make testosterone for the bloodstream, but they also make sperm that go into the tube to be excreted. And so there's like, these are endocrine and exocrine, and we're just blocking the exocrine portion. So just the sperm are being blocked. Nothing about the testosterone secretion should change at all.
I wish that were the case with so many different like women forms of birth control or protection or procedures.
Yeah. Preach. Does sex And orgasms, do they feel the same for men after a vasectomy?
Anecdotally, I mean, the answer is yes, they should be. I don't want to like poo-poo patients that I've seen that have said it doesn't. I think that's more sort of physiologically, it should feel the same. There's one other sort of risk of a vasectomy that I talk to guys about, which is that this is a very sensitive part of the body. There's a lot of nerve endings around the vas deferens, and obviously that go to the testicles. And there is a small risk of developing some pain in the testicles, like chronic pain in the testicles. So some of that can have to do with just the blockage and sort of that tube trying to squeeze sperm through and having sort of like a blockage type of pain. So sometimes we do vas reversal for that reason, for chronic pain.
Wow.
That's called post-vasectomy pain syndrome. It's pretty rare as well, about 1 in 1,000 or less. But it is something that I've seen and treated, and it's described. So most urologists are aware of it.
What is the most common question that men have when they come in for their first consultation about this? And do you feel like we asked all of the big ones?
Yeah, I think those are the big ones about just pain. What's the procedure like? How long am I going to be down and out? You know, I think it's pretty rare to have someone ask about reversibility, because most men are doing it in good faith for their, you know, partnership or for themselves. If they just, you know, are pretty confident that they don't want to have kids in the future. I've had, you know, after the Roe versus Wade being overturned, the Dobbs decision, we saw just a total spike in the number of men coming in without children who were wanting to be sort of responsible for contraception in their relationship. It was kind of cool to see, you know. It was very much, I saw it on a daily basis, and we saw it in some studies as well.
Interesting. You also mentioned there's a very popular month that men get the procedure done. Can you elaborate on that for our listeners?
Yeah. Well, I was saying it's so timely that this came up, because this March is the most common month. Well, not the most common. There's sort of a spike in men wanting to have this procedure and getting this procedure done. And that's because they want to take that time off of work to sit and watch March Madness. So it's like a March Madness phenomenon. And that was actually described first by the University of Washington's urology group. So it's really funny information, but it's, you know, stays true year after year.
God, if that ain't my husband, let me tell you, the second I tell him this fun fact, he's going to be like, it's fucking brilliant. I'm going to do it next month. I mean, that he literally took the day off work yesterday to watch. He does it every year. So
that just goes to show that they are capable of planning things for like reasons.
Right, right. Yeah. They're not as dumb as we say.
Although my husband does not care about basketball at all. He would probably want to do it though around like his own personal projects. Yeah, he would be responsible about it. Like, oh, it's a slow time at work. I can do it now.
I have one other question. Do you see men using this as a form of birth control? Because like, for example, I don't know if you watched Love is Blind, but there's a guy on the show who was talking about getting a vasectomy, had full intention of starting a family one day, but just thought like the woman he met in the pods couldn't take birth control. So he was like, well, I'll get a vasectomy. And then when we're ready to start a family, I'll get it reversed. Is that something you would try to convince a patient not to do? Or is that actually something you see?
I mean, I think it's reasonable as long as the guy sort of knows what is involved in a vas reversal and that they are not 100%. I think a really good way to sort of get around that is to offer sperm cryopreservation before the vasectomy. And I definitely have some of those kind of younger guys who are like, pretty sure I don't want to have kids, so I'm just going to bank some sperm, which has a cost to it, usually a couple $100 a year, between like $200 and $500 a year in most banks. And then I'll have this procedure and be able to sort of go about my business. And then if I need the sperm later, it can be used for assisted reproductive technology like IUI. You know, ejaculated sperm can be used for IUI, intrauterine insemination, or IVF. And so that would be a reasonable solution. The other alternative to reversal is that I can just, as a reproductive urologist, I can just extract sperm directly from the testicle. And that sperm has to be used for IVF. But it's, you know, most guys, if you've had prior paternity or you've had sperm testing and you know you have sperm, that's not going to stop after you have a vasectomy. So that is another alternative to have a biological child after having a vasectomy.
Does it hold as well as, for example, they say embryos hold better than eggs sometimes? Does it hold well?
Yeah, the thawing process, does it survive?
That's a great question. And the answer is no. So sperm are super, super small and microscopic. And obviously, eggs are microscopic too, but much, much smaller. So most don't survive. Well, not, I shouldn't say most, but if there's only a tiny amount of sperm, that's not really recommended to try to freeze them because they do have a good proportion that die. But luckily, we typically have sperm in the, millions and millions and millions of quantities. So that's usually not a concern for many men, but there are, some men who have just such low quantities of sperm in the testicle that we have to use them for IVF right away. We can't freeze them.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah. When we made our embryos and for Hallie too, they extracted the eggs and then he deposited his sperm and then mixed them and created what turned into embryos. So
yeah, so we do that in the testicle. So many people are familiar with egg freezing and, the retrieval process. I've done egg cryo myself a couple years ago just because of timeline and desire, and it was a great thing for me to do. And this is kind of the same, although that procedure in my end again is just in the office under local anesthesia, so they don't need injection medications, they don't need to go under a procedure where you have the eggs retrieved, so it's again a little bit less invasive in that way.
The men really have the best of that whole world.
often.
Yes. Yeah. Often.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Laura, this has been so great. Do you have any other questions? I was thinking, do I have anything else? Can you think of anything we've missed?
No, that was so, I feel like I learned so much.
That was a masterclass in sperm and semen and testicles. Don't drink every time we say testicles.
That is actually, I do have one more question. So before the procedure, do you have to fast, or should you not drink alcohol for a certain amount of time? Or
great question. Just based on one experience I had, I would advise that guys don't eat a full lunch right beforehand, or else you may vomit on your proceduralist. So that's not advisable. But
oh my God. Are most men coming in shaking in their boots? Because the thought of anyone doing anything to disrupt their balls is a nightmare for men.
It's a spectrum. So there's, and honestly, the discomfort with the procedure is such a spectrum too. There are some guys who just really don't even feel anything and just are so chill. And then there's guys who are pretty worked up. And, those are guys who may benefit from having a little bit of a pill, to knock down the anxiety on board.
Fascinating. Yeah. All of this.
All of it.
I cannot wait for my husband to listen to this episode in preparation for when he gets his vasectomy. It's so funny because they call it a snip snip, but it's not really even it's
like a clamp clamp.
It's a clamp clamp.
Oh, I'm cutting it.
So there's a snip. And then a clamp.
You do hear it. You do hear it a little bit. Like a little.
You hear it?
Well, I can hear it. Yes.
Yeah. Do they watch?
It depends. I mean, I've had a few guys ask me, can I watch? And I'm going to put a drape up in between. And they are disappointed.
Why would you want to watch that? You must
make a mask. Many clinics don't use a drape or anything. They just sort of, it's just right there and the guy's just sort of staring up, just like if you're at the dentist. You know, that's probably the best sort of analogy. Is just, it's sort of like a little dental procedure. You get a little numbing shot and then the procedure happens. And then, although I think it's less, I don't know, dental procedures to me are not my fave. And it's like, so, but it is sort of like that in terms of just like the little shot and then the procedure.
Okay. Can I just ask you a question as now being a very seasoned doctor? The first time you did it, were you so nervous?
I mean, it's one of the more, like I mentioned, humbling procedures because the patient is awake and they're nervous. And so you have to be really calm and cool and collected and confident in yourself. And
you're perfect and for that.
Really good at just making conversation as things are going along and distracting them a little bit. And I mean, I did a full fellowship in this, so I was super comfortable around these procedures. But yeah, when you go into practice, the first one, you know, the first few, you're like, okay, I got this. And then it's fine. And then the more you do, you're like, I actually love doing this procedure because it's so fun to just like set guys at ease and get it done quickly for them. And
How many have you done on average?
Do you think? Hundreds and hundreds. Yeah.
Wow. You've seen hundreds and hundreds of penises.
Oh, more than that.
I have some good stuff. Thousands and thousands of penises.
Yeah. Yeah. My husband loves hearing this clip on YouTube.
Yeah. Oh, you're such a pro, Mara. You are.
Oh my, you are wonderful. I learned more today than I have in a very long time.
Happy to educate. That's part of my job.
Girl, you're the best.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for being with us and taking time. I mean, I know you're literally in surgery. We were supposed to do this yesterday and she's like, oh, another patient came up in the OR. I'm like, girl, don't worry. You have legit things to do. We're just here to talk about penises. So thank you for doing the Lord's work.
Truly.
Anytime. Good luck with your pregnancies and
thanks.
Here for you anytime.